so often that we become numb or even deaf to what its true meaning really holds. The fact that you and I are sitting in this church house this morning and we're here, and I mean, you've got the liberty right now that if you don't like what I'm saying, you can get up and walk out that door and go get in your vehicle and go home, and nobody's going to say anything to you. Do you realize that in some countries that they have that there are people that are enforcing, like the Muslims are enforcing their religion on people so much so that if you're supposed to be at a certain place and you don't get there to mosque or whatever it is, that they can take you by their law and carry you outside and execute you and execute your family. Amen. Because you don't follow in the leadership that they want you to follow in. I mean, listen to me tonight or this morning, church. I want you to kind of just get an understanding that the fact that we can sit here in freedom and in liberty, it costs somebody something. I mean, you say, well, I'm free to do this. Yeah, but your freedom wasn't free. Amen. It cost somebody the blood that flowed through their veins. It cost some mama her son. It cost some young'uns their daddy. Amen? It cost somebody their brother. It cost somebody their sister. I'm not taking away from that. There are ladies that have been in uniform, give their lives to obtain the freedom that we love and enjoy in this country. And there are people today still bleeding and dying so that you and I can still enjoy the freedom, to have the freedom maintained in this world that we enjoy so very much. But, I mean, listen to me, church. Even the people that are out there doing all this protesting and junk, the people are over there bleeding and dying so those people can have the right to do what they want to do, whether you agree with it or not. The fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter what side of the coin you want to be on. Me personally, I'd just soon be out of the pocket. I don't want to be anywhere a part of that coin, amen. But listen to me. I want to tell you something this morning. No matter what side of the coin you want to be on, it still cost somebody something for you to be there. Amen. Amen. And now listen, we can't just make this a legalistic thing. We can't just make this a political thing. We cannot make this a state thing. This has got to be a spiritual thing. It's got to be something about you and the Lord, and you would not have the liberty you have today were it not for the shed blood of Jesus Christ dying in your place when you deserved everything that was coming to you. And the mercy of God and the grace of God sent the Lamb of God to a cross where He bore your sin. He bore your judgment. He took on your slavery. Amen. You are a slave to sin. And He took that thing for you. And He bore it Himself. He became sin who knew no sin. And He did that for you and for me so that you and I could have the liberty and the freedom to enjoy the Spirit of God, the fellowship of God, the joy of the Lord, the peace that passes all understanding, and do something for Him as long as He gives us life on this earth. Amen. What a blessing. Done freely. That's what I want to preach on this morning. Done freely, yet not free. The things that you and I do, that we do freely and should be doing freely, still cost somebody. Amen. It costs somebody. Let's look here. Psalm 34, starting in verse 1. If you will, please stand with me as we honor the reading of the Word of God. Psalm 34, we're going to start in verse 1, read down to verse 8. Very familiar psalm here. Wonderful psalm, especially I like it for two reasons. Somebody that's just got saved and somebody that's fixing to get married. I'll show you what I mean. Verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Praise the Lord. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Boy, here's a man. I'm going to tell you, it's a good verse right here. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Heavenly Father, I beg and plead for the power of God to be on us today. Lord, that You just give us that spirit of truth, Lord, that You open up our mouth and use us as the oracle of God to speak Your word. And I pray that You'd set a guard watch before my lips this morning. Let nothing of the flesh, Lord, come through what's going on in this world and in this life, Lord. We're not here to preach on issues. Father, we're here to preach what thus saith the Lord. And God, we'll thank You and we'll praise You for the opportunity. And we ask it all in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. If you would please seat. I about said stand. You's already standing. Go ahead and sit down. Enjoy your seat there. Amen. All right, a couple of things I want to show you, especially in these first two or three verses. You see five mandates that God gives you that ought to be from you towards Him. Amen. As much as He does towards you, amen, you ought to be doing a little bit toward Him. You're not saved by works, but you're saved unto good works, the Bible says. So there's some things you ought to be doing. All right, 34:1. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Listen, there's some things you ought to be, you ought to bless the Lord. Amen. You ought to try to bless. We're going to look at some scriptures. Go ahead and get Micah chapter 6 this morning. Micah chapter 6. And I want to show you something. You ought to bless the Lord. How do I bless the Lord? You bless the Lord when you follow what He says. When you do what He told you to do. That's how you bless the Lord. Micah chapter 6, and the Bible says in verse 8, I'll give you just a minute. I know that sometimes Micah can be one of them ones that's stuck in there and it gets hid from you from time to time because it ain't a very common book for people to flip to. But I really like the book of Micah, and I like hear what he says in chapter 6. Micah chapter 6, he says in verse 8, the Bible says, He hath showed thee, O man. He say, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Right here's the answer to that question. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, preacher. I don't know how I'm supposed to be living. I don't know the direction I'm supposed to go in. Here, the Lord gives it to you right here. He says, He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? Here it is. But to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. There's the answer. Do justly. What is that? Do right. Just do right because it's right. Not because it feels good. Not because it earns you something. Not because it gains you something. You do right because the judge of all the earth does right, and you belong to Him. So you do what's right. Do justly. And then he says, to love mercy. Boy, I'm going to tell you, and I think we all fall short in that. Amen. Take for granted the mercy of God. Love mercy. Wake up in the morning and say, Lord, thank You that You let me see another day. Thank You that my eyes open and I can still see, amen. Thank You that I still throw my legs over the side of the bed and they strong enough to bear my weight and I was able to stand up. Thank You, Lord, that I can still breathe and I ain't on a ventilator laying in a hospital bed somewhere. Thank You, Lord, amen, that I can eat and taste the food that's going into my mouth. Thank You that I got clothes to put on, amen. God, You've supplied every need I've had, and it's all been Your mercy that's done it. Thank You, Lord, for Your mercy and Your grace. Love mercy and then walk humbly. Walk humbly. How do I bless the Lord? When you do what He says. That's how you do it. You bless the Lord when you do what He says. Now, I got verse after verse after verse after verse that I could just go to and try to give you. I'd love to go through all of them, but time would not allow me to do so. We'd be here for an hour and a half if I went through all these verses, but I got them wrote down. And I'm going to tell you something. One of the things that God tells you, He says you ought to bless the Lord. Back in verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. And then He says, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So you ought to praise the Lord. Well, that's Psalm 150 in verse 6. He says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Well, are you breathing this morning? Listen to me. Brother Johnny Norris, we mentioned prayer for him. His wife earlier this morning, she's had a bad fall, and we're praying for them. Of course, Brother Johnny is not in the best of health, but I went and heard Brother Johnny preach one time at Yellow Mountain, and he was preaching a message, and I'll never forget the message because he was preaching on the passage where the Lord was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he said, you're likened unto whited sepulchres. He said, without you beautiful, but within you're full of dead men's bones. And and he had a, I mean, Brother Johnny, he pulled this brown paper bag out and he reached in there and he pulled out this little coffee mug. And he says, ain't that pretty? Ain't that just a beautiful little thing? And he said, here, I want you to pass it around. Just take a good look at it, how pretty that is. Had a little picture of an angel on it or something like that. But that thing wheeled its way around through that congregation. He's up here just to talking. And when that thing got to me and I was looking at him, it just looked like a coffee cup. But when I turned it over and looked inside it, ugh, there was cigarette ashes and tobacco juice and all grease and just grime and nastiness. And Brother Johnny saw my reaction. He said, Tommy's boy wants a drink of that back there. He got through with the preaching and he got through with that point. And whenever he finished, he was coming to the end of his message and he pulls his jacket off. And when he did, he turns around and he had a long sleeve white button up shirt and he had cut the sleeves of them to shreds. And on the back of it, he had wrote sin. He had wrote damnation. He had wrote all kinds of different sins that people can commit. Thievery, murder, drunkenness. He had wrote those things on the back. He said, now with this coat on, you wouldn't have known anything was even on that shirt. It would have just looked white and pretty. He said, but listen, he said, that don't mean that you can see what's underneath. Now then at the end of the service, he said, now listen, he said, you ought to thank God for the blood because it covers all that up and you can't see it. Amen. But he said, here's something else he said, and this blessed my heart. He said, if you don't think you've got anything to thank God for, he said, everybody with me at the same time, he said, on the count of three, take a big deep breath in, hold it for just a second, and then blow it back out. And he counted one, two, three, and everybody, and then he turned to Psalm 150 and verse 6, and he said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen. Are you breathing this morning? Son, I'm starting to wonder about some of you. I can look at you and you look like you ain't breathed in ages. Say, what do we need, preacher? You need to get over there to Ezekiel 37 and read about the valley of dry bones. You need to read about the prophecy of the Lord whenever he told Ezekiel to breathe. He said, prophesy to the wind that they breathe upon these bones that they may live. I'm dry, preacher. Then you need to ask God to breathe on you. Ask God to breathe on you. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. But then he says this, verse 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. And then he says, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Boast in the Lord. Brag on him. You ought to brag on him every once in a while. If you're going to brag about something, brag about him. Amen. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. If you're going to brag about something, brag about him. Amen. Instead of complaining about what you ain't got, brag about him for what he's done for you. Amen. Has he done anything for you? I got one all right, and that was from Miss Donna. Has he done anything for you? Amen. Has he blessed you? Amen. And if you can't say he has, you need some help. Amen. Because God's done more for you than you deserve. Amen. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. If you're going to brag about something, brag about him. Brag about what he's done for you. Brag about how good he's been to you. Say, he ain't been good to me. You're out of your mind. God's been better to you than you deserve. Amen. We done said justice delivered to you and me rightfully lands us in hell. So the fact that we were given the opportunity to ask Christ to be our Savior and be bought by the price and born into the family of God is a blessing far beyond anything we deserve. People get lost, the people can't see that. But then he says this, verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Magnify the Lord. You know, you go out, and I don't know if anybody else ever did. I'm sure you did. What kind of dumb question is this? But you take a magnifying glass, and you go outside, and you hold it up in the sun. That's a kid's way of lighting stuff on fire without getting caught with a lighter, amen, and not getting in trouble. But then you do the stupid thing, and you're sitting here holding this little piece of paper, and you're trying to catch that sunlight and burn that thing, and you end up burning yourself in the process. We used to have a tough man competition and sit there and you'd put your hand on the ground and let's just see how long you can stand it. It didn't take long. You'd be pulling your hand out of there. You know what got to really getting on your mind when you think about how hot that was and uncomfortable it was? It got you to think about, man, hell's going to be worse than that. Yeah. Amen. So he says, oh, magnify. Magnify. What is that? Well, what is a magnifying glass used for? Makes things bigger, right? Sit there and makes things bigger. So when you magnify the Lord, what are you supposed to be doing? Make Him bigger. Make Him bigger. That's what you're supposed to be doing. Webster's Dictionary defines magnifying as to make great or greater, to make great in representation. Amen. Make great in representation. What is that? That goes back to where Paul said, you're an ambassador for Christ. You know what the job of an ambassador is to do? It's not just to relay a message. It's to represent the one that he come from. And how are you representing him? Small? Because I'm telling you, the way that the Lord has a place in some of our hearts and some of our lives, he's small. He says, magnify. You make him bigger. John said, he must increase, but I must decrease. You know what happens to us? We get the thing backwards. Amen. We do. He must increase, but I must decrease. But we get it backwards. We say, well, we have to decrease first before he increases. No, that ain't what... It was written the way it was written on purpose. He must increase, but I must decrease. You know how you're going to decrease? By letting him increase. Amen. Because there's only so much room. So the bigger he gets, the smaller you have to get. But you can't work on making yourself smaller in order for him to get bigger. You got to let him get bigger first. How do I do that? Make the main thing the main thing. Let him have the forerunning spot. Let him have the preeminence. Make sure he has the first of everything in your heart and your life. And as he increases, you will decrease. You don't have to decrease yourself. If you will let him increase, you will decrease. But he's got to increase first. That's the reason the verse is written the way that it is. He must increase, but I must decrease. You can't decrease yourself enough to where he can increase. That'll take all your time. Do you see that? It'll take all your time. It'll take all your effort. It'll take every ounce of energy you've got to try to make yourself small enough to where you think he's got enough room to expand. What do you need to do? You just better make sure you make him increase. Then you'll have to decrease. Amen. It's what this whole first two or three verses is about. Bless the Lord. Magnify the Lord. Praise the Lord. Boast yourself in the Lord. David, whenever he was in a dire strait after his wives and his kids had all been kidnapped and everything they had been seized over at Ziklag and they'd set it on fire, the people had talked about taking David and stoning him after having flocked to him for leadership and they trusted in him and now they've lost everything they had and they're talking about stoning him. And the Bible says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. How are you going to get him bigger? You're just going to have to focus on him. See, if you try to make yourself smaller, you're still putting all the focus on you. You got to put the focus on him. You put the focus on him, he gets bigger. And you will gradually get smaller. Why? Because you're paying more attention to him than you are to you. Magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord. But then he says this. Exalt the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Exalt. Exodus chapter 15. I want to turn over there. I do need to get these verses so that I can get my point. Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. Now this is a talking about Israel here, but we can get a practical application from it. Exodus chapter 15, and look at what he says in verse 2, or verse 1 rather. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song. Now this is the song that they get to singing after they go through the Red Sea and the Egyptians are drowned. And now they're on the other side, they're free of their captors. Here it is, they're singing. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Here it is. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Do you see there, though, where it said, I will prepare him an habitation. Now, in the age of grace, do we have a place that we build so that the Lord can dwell there like they did in the Old Testament? No. Why? Because the Bible says, he says, know ye not that your body is the temple which you have of God. He said, you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. He indwells you. He inhabits you. The habitation they were preparing was one where the Lord could come in and sit down, and they would have to go in and fellowship. But you, under the age of grace, bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, are the house of God. And He indwells you, so you should be preparing your habitation for Him. How do I do that? You exalt Him. Exaltation is that you allow yourself to be His habitation, and you give Him the throne of your heart. Excuse me. Now, over in Matthew chapter 12, and I'm going to go over here and read this to you. Matthew chapter 12, you've got them talking about whenever an unclean spirit leaves. Excuse me, I apologize. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12, 43. Bible says this. Now, I'm nearing the end of this thing, so y'all just bear with me. Matthew 12, 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. He's talking about that unclean spirit. But he says in 44, then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, garnished. What happened? The unclean spirit got kicked out of the man. But when the unclean spirit departed and got kicked out of the man didn't fill the house with something in its place. He just left it empty. So when the unclean spirit comes back, then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Exalt the Lord. Say, how do you know that that's so of people today? Because in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, when he's addressing the Laodicean church, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's outside. He ain't inside. He's outside. He wants to come in. Because he said, if any man will open, I will come in and will sup with him and he with me. But they don't have that because they're not exalting Him. They're not giving Him the preeminent place where He deserves to be. Amen. Now let's come back to Psalm 34 and get on down through here, and I can go through the rest of this kind of quick. Because it says in verse 4, I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. He says in verse 4, he says, oh, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me. So he's looking. You know what happens? The Lord don't hide Himself. Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6, He says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. He ain't hiding. He's not hid Himself from anybody. You know what it is? People ain't looking for the right reasons. Amen. Say, I need the Lord's guidance on this. What, for what reason do you want His guidance? Because a person who wants the Lord's guidance, He'll give it to them. But if a person's just looking to satisfy themselves, say, if we got into Sunday school a little bit, one of the things I was going to tell you is, you know what the blessing is between the difference in Old Testament and New Testament? Whenever Moses in the Old Testament, which they were going to be under the law, and Moses, he's on the backside of the desert, and he's watching over his father-in-law's sheep, and it says he was walking around there. What did he see on the side of the road? The bush, right? And it was burning, and it wasn't consumed. But then whenever he approached it to see what was going on, what did he hear? There's a voice spoke to him. And what did it say? Take your shoe from off your feet, from the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. All right? What is that? Take it all off because everything's open before the Lord anyway, right? Okay, but let me give you this now. Here's the opposite end of the coin. That's the law side. Let's get the grace side. Under the grace side, you've got the prodigal in the far country, and he comes home, and the father says, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put some shoes on his feet. Because he takes care of that. He's not hiding himself. He's not trying to hide himself. But the person who's looking for him for the wrong reasons, he has no reason to come around. See, we walk according to the course of this world and we want the Lord to walk with us. He's not going to do it. He's not going to walk with you when your focus and all of your concern is based according to what this world's got going on. Amen? People want to know why God ain't intervening in all of this stuff that's going on in this country. It's because He don't want to. Because everything that's going on is right behind what He's got in His plan. So what is it for you to do? Quit worrying about it. Quit worrying about it. Amen. Quit getting caught up in that stuff. What are you supposed to be doing? Magnify the Lord. Exalt the Lord. Boast yourself in the Lord. It's all about Him anyway. Amen. He don't hide Himself. In fact, in verse 5 it says, they looked unto Him and they were, lightened. Lightened. Now, somebody might look at that and think it's lightened as in lightened. You know what my first thought was when I read it? My first thought was lightened. They're heavy. He says, and they were lightened. Why? Because He told them in Matthew, He said, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He says, take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. Now, isn't that odd that the Lord tells you the way that you get rest is you put the yoke on? Normally, you'd say, if I want some rest, I got to get the yoke off. But He says, take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. So He doesn't hide Himself. But He can lighten, and He can lighten you. Amen? And then He says in verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Now down in verse 7 and 8, and we're closing this thing out, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. A majority of this has to do with prayer. A lot of it does. Because He says in verse 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Verse 4, I sought the Lord. And then in verse 8, verse 6, this poor man cried. So a lot of this has to do with prayer. It has to do with people talking to Him. I mean, here's the thing. It says, oh, taste and see. Last verse. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You'll not know unless you try Him out. Amen. 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 You'll not know unless you try Him out. You know, one of the things I learned when I was a boy, there wasn't nothing better than to walk through the kitchen around Thanksgiving time whenever Nanny was in there making stuff. Because my thing was always, I didn't want to wait for the finished product. I wanted to dab my finger in the bowl and get something sweet. That's what I wanted. Say, what was the mistake? Well, one time she was in there and had the bowl and she was stirring stuff up, and I run over there right behind her where she wasn't looking. I snitched me a bit and I run. She says, hey, you don't need. And before she could say anything, I done crammed it in my mouth. That was the most God-awful, bitter tasting stuff. What was it? Just plain old biscuit dough with salt and pepper in it and flour. Blah. There wasn't nothing sweet to that. Made me think, okay, next time I'm going to ask her what she's making. before I just cram my finger in the bowl. You know why a lot of people find that their relationship with the Lord doesn't amount to much? Because they ain't tested it out. They ain't tried it. They ain't gotten the Word of God and found those promises and tried to claim them. Amen? Amen? You know when that book will start meaning something to you? When you get in it and start claiming the promises in it. Say, how do I claim the promises? Here's a good way. You need some mercy? Go in your Bible and find everywhere in your Bible where it has the word mercy. And you can get an application out of it and start praying. Say, Lord, you said mercy. And you just start quoting. You need some grace? Find all the places in that book where it talks about grace and start praying. Say, Lord, you said that your grace would be sufficient for me and that in my weakness, your strength would be made perfect. And Lord, I need that now. I need your help. The Bible says in James, we ask and receive not because we ask amiss. Why? That we may consume it upon our lusts. That's why we don't get what we need. How are they going to know if they don't try them out? All the freedoms we like to enjoy and sometimes abuse, they didn't come free. They cost somebody. You know what's going to happen? Listen to me. He gave them to you to be done freely, but can I give you this in closing? I'm done. Can I give you this in closing? You have what you have because somebody before you gave their all so that you could have it, yes? Now, if the time continues on and the Lord tarries and He doesn't return, what kind of freedoms are we leaving? Him? Her? Him? What kind of freedoms are we going to leave them? Say, well, I can't control the government. I ain't talking about the cussed government. I'm talking about the spiritual liberties that you and I have been awarded, have been blessed with because somebody in front of us refused to quit praying, refused to quit trusting, and refused to give up on God. And because of that, you and I are sitting here right now in a building. It's air-conditioned. Amen? Listen, you're going to poke your head out there in a few minutes and you're going to realize between the time we started and the time we've ended, that's been about a 10 degrees difference. You're going to get in your vehicle and you're going to crank that thing. Now, if you're fortunate, there's going to be some air coming out of them vents, hopefully. If not, hey, roll the windows down, hit the gas pedal. It'll cool off in just a minute. Amen? A 2x60 is wonderful. Amen. Two windows, 60 miles an hour. At least you ain't walking. Amen. You're going to go home somewhere. Sit down. There's going to be a plate in front of you. Amen. And I doubt they're going to be any of us sit down at a plate where there ain't going to be no food on it. Amen. What's all this about? Because when we get so caught up in us that we don't put Him where He's supposed to be and realize that everything we've got is because of Him anyway, what are we leaving for the next bunch? What are we doing for them? We're so consumed with us, we forget that there's a generation coming up behind us. They're not going to have anything. I don't want my daughter to grow up only ever hearing daddy bellyache and whine and complain about what he don't have. I want her to grow up hearing daddy thank God for what I do have. Amen. Because the Father knows all that I have need of and He'll take care of that. Just got to put your trust and the faith in Him and say, you know what? If I don't get it the way I think I need it, I'm going to worship Him anyway. I'm going to give glory to Him anyway. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. I will bless the Lord. Amen. What do we need? We need a little bit more of a dose of that. Amen. Turn that old cussed box off. Get our ears in tune with the heart of God. get our eyes on the pages of this book and ask the Lord to help us to look into this future with a little bit of optimism. Because listen, as bad as it could get in this world, that's only going to make heaven sweeter. Amen? Now, does that mean it's going to be easy? No, absolutely not. But if your citizenship's up there, you ought not to be too worried about that down here. Amen. Let's bow our heads.